appreciative of the fact that we know by your grace that whether we're sitting in the pew or standing up here, it's all you. It is always all you. We just ask that you have your way, cause our hearts to be open to you tonight. Bless the word of God as it goes forth. Encourage our hearts. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as the choir was singing, it made me think of a few things. It's not necessarily what I'm going to speak on tonight, but I want to run through a couple of verses real quick before I get started. First one is found in Ezekiel, and that's the first chapter of Ezekiel. Verse 13 says, "As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures," that's you, "and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning." As I mentioned, that's you. That's me. So we think about what are we going to be doing. Well, whatever we're going to be doing is going to be pretty fast. Then in the 10th chapter of Ezekiel, verse 5, it says this, "And the sound of the cherubims," again, that's you, "cherubims' wings were heard even to the outer court, as the voice of the Almighty God when he speaketh." She's going to sound just like him. And of course she will. She's going to be like him. I thought that was wonderful. Made me think of the choir again. As you sing and you're all singing one song, one voice. But the Lord is going to make sure that we sound just like him. Then you jump over to Romans 9:23. And this is a scripture that everybody's familiar with, but probably all these scriptures you're familiar with. It says, "And that he might make known the riches of the glory on the vessels of mercy," that's you again, "which he hath afore prepared unto glory." The vessels of mercy, that's you, that's me. He says, "which he has afore prepared us." So I appreciated that. Then I jump over to Ephesians 1:18. As I said, all these scriptures, I'm pretty sure everybody in here is pretty familiar with. But there's one thing they seem to all have in common, and I'll get to that in a second. Ephesians 1:18 says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints," in the saints. That's everybody here, a group. I know that our walk with the Lord is an individual walk. We may want our family or our friends or someone else or anyone else to go this way, and we want them to come with us, but it's an individual walk. But these are things he says about us in general, all of us. He calls us saints. Then Ephesians 3:18. He says, "may be able to comprehend with all saints," once again, that's us, everyone, "what is the breadth and the length and depth and height." That's what he wants all of us to understand. This is not an individual thing. We walk individually, but this is for all of us, what he wants us to know. Then let's jump over to Colossians. Chapter 1, verse 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. That's us. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's for us. Everyone born again. He'd have us to know the mystery. So, let's go over to one more, back to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And the 13th verse. In all of that I just read, this is where he wants us to be. He says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's where he wants us to go. That's where he wants us to be. That's what he wants us to be. So, including this little short part here, take a look at Revelation, the fourth chapter, the ninth verse. With all that revelation that he has given to us that I just mentioned, he says this in verse 9, the fourth chapter. And when those beasts, again that's you, give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne. And I'll stop there. That's what we're going to be doing. We are to give glory and honor to him that sits on the throne. That's where all this leads to. That's why we come to church. That's why we read our Bibles on our own time. That's why we witness. That's why we grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, so that we can give glory and honor to him. There's no one that deserves it like him. That's just some thoughts I had about they, that is to say the choir. When I see the choir, the thing that I appreciate most of all, I love the music. It's always so beautiful. We have a lot of fine players in the church. But it's the singing, it's the songs, to be able to come together as one and put forth the word of God in the songs. That's always so beautiful. And that's the same here. We're going to come to this altar tonight and we're going to sing. Now, again, it's always just an individual prayer or worship, but it's going to be one. And I think that's always so beautiful. So to get to the study that I was going to have, I'll do it this way. It's on fellowship. I'm sure you'll figure that out. So one beautiful day when I was 18 or 19, I was walking down the street, and on the other side of the street coming towards me came Haffy. We all had nicknames in those days. We called him Haffy because the backside of his head was flat. So we called him Haffy. Now my nickname was Vail. It wasn't Spider or Spidey or anything like that. It was Vail, the second half of my last name. And as we came closer to each other, we raised our fists to salute each other, which meant I see you and acknowledge you as a black man in this common struggle for equality, and we kept walking to wherever we were going. Now this is a pleasant memory, and it reminds me of the times I see a fellow Christian out anywhere. It's like a sip of cold water on a hot day, or sunshine that breaks out on a cloudy day. It made me think of one day when I was going through physical therapy. I was sitting outside the hospital on the bench waiting for my son to come and pick me up. and just waiting. Nice day. And here walks Gloria Flores. Just walks up. I guess she was working on that shift that day, but I was tired. But it was such a joy to see her, to see another Christian. And that's what we do for one another. So, we as Christians have similar sunshine moments. The Apostle Paul wrote about such a time when he wrote in Philippians 4:14, "You have well done that you did communicate with my affliction." That word communicate means fellowship. In Vine's Concise Dictionary, fellowship is defined as a communion, a sharing in common, a partnership, a partaker with. Paul also encourages us in our fellowship in 2 Corinthians 8:4, where he says, "Praying us with much entreaty that we receive the gift of the ministering to the saints." That's helping each other along the way. I mean, we need to encourage one another, and for the most part, as far as I can tell, we do. We always inquire how one another are doing. And if we hear something or think something is not quite right, we try to lift one another up. That's how we minister to one another. You don't have to be standing in a pulpit to minister to one another. We do that all the time. So Paul said we can do that. Now, if we're willing to walk in this fellowship, that is to say in the Word of God, it tells us there is a crown and a throne with Jesus Christ shared with you as his bride. And Revelations 3:8 tells us that it just requires faith. And we all know how we get more faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's no getting around it. If you want more faith, you need to read the Word of God and believe it. After all, he wrote it, and he is the author and the finisher of it. So you have to read the Word of God to gain more faith. And he says it is impossible to please God without it. In Vine's Dictionary, fellowship as a noun is a communion or sharing. As a verb in Philemon 6, says this, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That's an action word. It means a partaker of. It's a difference between being at a sporting event and being in the game and being a partaker of the game, or being a coach on the sideline. Now, in Philippians 4:14, you do both. 4:14 says, "Notwithstanding, you'd have well done that you did communicate with my affliction." Once again, that's something we always do. We share with one another in our afflictions. We take prayer requests before each service. And on Friday nights, we're asking everyone, we're telling everyone, this is what I need prayer about. That's how we share. And Paul, and it just depends on what's needed as far as whether we're on offense or defense. In Colossians 2:2, Paul would have our hearts knit together in love. Knit is in Strong's in the Greek means to force, to drive up together, to unite in association or affection. It's kind of like here when we have fellowship dinners or similar gatherings. It's a nice break during a hard day or any day. It's kind of like the Old West They used to have way stations. And these way stations were for travelers who were going long distances. And they would stop there, take a break, get a little something to eat, or just stretch their legs. It was a break. And that's what we have. We take a break sometimes. I mean, we come out of being out in the world or being on a job or being in a house. And we come to church and we get a break. We don't have to worry about someone attacking us or this battle or this thing or that thing. We take a break. And that's what this place is for. Now, what if there wasn't a way station? What if Living Waters didn't exist? Well, that would make for a real bumpy ride, don't you think? We need a break. Do you suppose that's one of the reasons why we have Hebrews 10:25, which says, something familiar to everyone again, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see that day approaching. Sometimes we just need a little encouragement. And I think how many times, it's not always coming from the pulpit, but maybe somebody you just speak to for just a moment, just a few seconds. You encourage them, or they encourage you. Just a word. But if they weren't there or you weren't there, you wouldn't have received it. That's why, another reason is why we come, for the encouragement. This race sometimes can get rough. So we need to have somebody encourage us. Now, we know the Holy Spirit's going to do it. But sometimes he'll use just somebody that we may bump into for a second, that we may just think, well, I'm just going to say hi to that person. And they'll say or do just exactly what we needed to hear at that time. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me many times. Appreciate that. So as Christians go, who or what do we have fellowship with? In 1 John 1:3, it says our fellowship is with each other and the Father and the Son. And Matthew 18:20 says, where two or three are gathered together in Jesus' name, there Jesus is in the midst. But there's also a who not to fellowship with, too. You can find the answer to that in Ephesians 5:11. It says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, do I have to give a list of the unfruitful works of darkness? Don't you know when it's right or wrong? Of course you do. And if you decide to have fellowship with it, that's a decision that you make. Right here, the Word of God tells you don't do that. You don't have to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Then another place you'll find where you don't have to have fellowship, you find in 2 Corinthians 6:14. Which says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God, and that's you and me, with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So, once again, you don't really have to be told who not to fellowship with. It's pretty clear. You don't have to make that choice. And he says, if you come out from among that, he said, I will receive you unto myself, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. Matthew, in the book of Matthew, well, first of all, back to the way station or the journey. You know, some try to use the comforts of this world to comfort themselves on the journey. Some may use drugs, some alcohol, some self-righteousness. Just whatever they may use to make the journey, they think, easier. But you know, one thing I found out, I don't know how, about you, what you were doing out in the world when we were walking according to the course of this world, is that when you did those things, you actually felt worse than when you started to do it. It wasn't a relief at all. And as a matter of fact, in Isaiah 28:15, he calls such comforts a refuge of lies. And you know why? Because you say you're going to do something. I just want to do this to feel better, make this road a little easier. But it's not any easier. Matter of fact, you make it harder. That's why he calls it a refuge of lies. But let's take a look at this fellowship, this partaking, this sharing. What can break it up? It doesn't matter what I say or what you think or say. Let's go to the one who has the last word. And I'm pretty sure everybody knows where I'm going. In the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, 35th verse, says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that includes you. Can't separate yourself from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And again, he has the last word. So, you're never alone, even in your thoughts. God says in 1 Corinthians 1:9 that you have been invited into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Everyone loves the book of Esther, and I do too. Tell you one of my favorite parts. Let me read that to you. I'll tell you while I'm looking. You know, Vashti, his queen at first, was summoned to come before the king. He was going to show her off. And she didn't want to come. I guess she had something else better to do. She didn't want to come. So they got together and they said, just replace her. She doesn't want to come, just replace her. So they got together all the most beautiful women in the kingdom. They brought them before the king. And he was going to pick one from that group. And so in verse 9 of the second chapter, this is one of my favorite verses. It says, and the maiden that is the one that he picked one. He said, you're the one. I want you. It says, and the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her things of purification, with such things as belonged to her and seven maidens, which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. He said, these are beautiful women, but you, he gave her her own room. Do you feel that about yourself? Are you special like that to him? How about to yourself? He says, you're the one. Do you hear him saying that to you? So praise the Lord is right. Consider this. Jesus will be whoever you want him to be. Savior, friend, healer, confidant, but why not let him be to you who he wants to be to you? Bridegroom. That's what he wants to be to you. You've read 2 Corinthians 11:2, which tells you you have been espoused to Christ. He said that to everybody in this building. And I do believe most, if not all of you, said, I will go. Amen. Well, when you said, I will go, guess what? He said, okay, let's go. I'm going to take you on. You've been espoused to me. You signed the contract. So he went away to prepare a place for you. He told us that. He's going to come again. But we have been espoused to Christ. So anyway, back to the path. What do you or who do you see coming into your focus? Most of the time, we don't think of fellowshipping Jesus the way that we fellowship each other, but he wants to fellowship us body, soul, and spirit. You see, when we are fellowshipping each other, we are fellowshipping his body. The things we say, do, or feel about each other, we are saying, doing, or feeling about him. Sometimes we say, I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel. Then we see another saint come into our view. We see one another, and both our faces light up. Who do you think does that? He lights us up. But you're fellowshipping his body. Then there is the soul, the seat of our emotions. That's where our passions come from. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. This is a pretty interesting statement, because I would have to stop and say, how do you feel about yourself? What do you think about yourself? He's already called you his beloved. He wants to marry you. Do you have that same thought? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Kind of reminds me of Luke 10, where Jesus had stopped at Martha's, and she was cumbered about with much serving. But Mary, her sister, sat at his feet and couldn't take her eyes off him. This kind of bothered Martha. And she even complained to Jesus, said, I'm doing all the work. Why don't you have her help me? Well, in Luke 10, this was Jesus' response. 10:41. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. She had taken that good part, the best part. That is to say, the fascinated with Jesus. She couldn't take her eyes off of him. Now, have you ever been reading your Bible and the phone rings or somebody knocks at the door? Or somebody comes along and just seems like they're trying to interrupt you and you just don't want to close your Bible? Can't take your eyes off of him? Same thing. That's what Mary was like. She couldn't take her eyes off of him. And we shouldn't either. That's called lovesick. But it seems there's always somebody or someone trying to bother you. But someone's got your heart. That's the passion of his soul. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 9, it says this. And actually, he says this. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. Now, I would say you're either going to blush or you're going to want to find out more. What is he talking about? That's some love talk right there. So back, but before we get there, speaking of fellowshipping in the Spirit, in Philippians 2, 1 and 2, it says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. That word, through Vine's dictionary, that word comfort can be interpreted as persuaded by your love for Jesus. The word fellowship, it means anything to you, if it means anything to you, that we are brothers in the Lord. And bowels and mercies, or affection and compassion. Having the same love, Weymouth says it this way, united in mutual love, with harmony of feeling, giving your minds to one and the same object. So now back to Haffy. When you're walking down this path, who do you see coming towards you? 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says the Lord himself. So who do you see? Is it someone else or something else? What's coming into focus for you? How about your first love? And remember how you got started. Remember how you got started. Same love. It only grows. He wants it to grow in your hearts. That's who you should see coming your way. That's who you should be looking for. So, then there is the ultimate fellowship, which I just spoke about. He says this, rise up, my fair one, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Come away from what? Whatever is stopping you or hindering you from going with him. Maybe it's house payment. Maybe it's the next bill. Maybe it's pain. Anything that's stopping you from going away with him, being with him. Now it's time to go to the mountains of Bether. Bether means separation. It's time to be separated unto the Lord. So it's time for that. That is to say, separation. Do you not want your beloved to come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruit? It's been a long night. Is his hand not at the door? Does your heart not race a little faster in anticipation of the sound of his voice? And then shall we ever be with the Lord? Oh, and as far as the greeting is concerned, the Apostle Paul in Romans 16:16 tells us to greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, I know that with the virus and concerns, a lot of people are kind of nervous about that. Understandable. Do whatever you're comfortable with. But he does say that. I would only say this. I've taught my children that a kiss is a sign of love and respect. And even the mafia does that. Don't we at least have that much affection for each other? Seriously? Yeah. So remember, the Word of God says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And I would just say this. I love you, family. And we should love one another and make sure that we let each other know that. Because you never know who you're going to encourage just by causing them to know that you love them. That's good fellowship. So praise the Lord. That's all I've got for you.